kind of feel a bit uneasy about talking about giving as the treasurer, because I feel as though it can easily turn into a legalistic thing. But I'd like to begin by saying thank you to everyone who gives so much at this church, both financially, but also in other ways too, in their giving of their time and their efforts. And we need all of these things. We need the money. We need our time and effort to make the church work and to do the things that God would have us to do. So really a big thank you to everyone, and thank you for everyone for their faithfulness in being here week by week. Because when we think about giving, it's easy to look at the first thing that comes to mind is how much money we set aside for the church, and that can easily turn into a legalistic ritual. I'm very aware of them. I'm reminded when I think when my father used to tell me that he was forced to go to church and said, I don't know whether it was a penny or a halfpenny that you had to put in the bowl as it went round. And his parents never went with him, but they said, off you go, remember to put your money in. And that was what church was all about, remembering to put your money in the bowl, and that was it. And so he quickly learned, well, if I didn't bother going to church and didn't tell them, I'd have a penny in my pocket to spend on I think you used to be able to buy one or two cigarettes to round at the newsagents, and, you know, at the ripe old age of 9 years old, I think. I've kind of tried to look at the two sides of the coin about what I can give, what I should give. I thought it would be interesting to compare to the opposite side of the coin, and that's what I've got as opposed to what I give. And hence the reading of that we looked at, that Tim gave us of Hezekiah earlier. Many of us might be old enough to remember the good old days of I think it was the 1970s, when these stickers in the backs of cars started to become very popular. So it was either on the bumper or on the back window, you'd have things like words of wisdom, don't follow me, I'm lost too, and hoot if you think I'm beautiful, or whatever it was. And nobody ever hooted at me. That's not fair. I know, yes. But I'm told that whilst this was all taking off in the UK, a similar thing was happening in the US. And one of the stickers there, which was apparently very common, was at the end of the game, the one with the most toys wins. And so the end of the game, in other words, the end of the life, the one who's got the most wins. So if you're a winner, or to be a winner, you've got to be someone like, I don't know, Bill Gates or Jim Radcliffe or, I don't know, Elon Musk or whoever. And you stand there, if you've got the most money, you've got the most things, you'll be one of the winners. That reminded me of the story of Hezekiah. And if you look through, the Bible actually says quite a lot about Hezekiah. There's, I don't know, two, three chapters which concentrate on him. And it starts off saying that Hezekiah was actually a good king. He started off doing right, what was in the eyes of the Lord. And so he got rid of a lot of the shrines and that. And it's very sad, actually. The reading that we read, I'm just trying to... 2 Kings 18, wasn't it? Yes, 20, sorry. 2 Kings 20. I find it quite a sad end to his life, because he was very ill. He prayed to the Lord, and the Lord added 15 years to his life. And the Lord showed him a great miracle as well at that time. And if we go back, it says that about the shadow going backwards as a sign. And Then we read in the passage that Tim spoke about, the king of Babylon sent Hezekiah letters and a gift because he'd heard of Hezekiah's illness. And Hezekiah gladly showed his envoy everything that he'd got. And this passage is actually repeated in Isaiah chapter 39, and it's always significant to me when the Bible repeats something. It sort of adds an extra bit of significance. And if you read in Isaiah 39, he says he showed these people everything that he got gladly. He was very proud of it. So, if we carry on reading, then obviously there's the sad prophecy that he's told, that he showed the envoys everything, people from Babylon everything, and everything would be taken away from him. Even to the point where he said, some of your descendants will be taken away, and they'll become eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. And it's tragic because Hezekiah sees that as a good thing. He thinks, well, I'm all right. So that's all that matters. Will there not be peace and security in my lifetime? I'm all right. It doesn't matter about what happens after me. And sadly, it all came to pass. If we carry on reading through Kings, we'll see it all happens. And that's how tragic that a person who starts off doing that which is right in the eyes of the Lord ends up with the attitude that, well, I'm all right. It doesn't matter what happens to the country around me. It doesn't matter what happens to my family. I'm all right. And that's came to mind when I was thinking of what I've got. It's not what I'd given, but it's what I've got. It's what Hezekiah had got. There was, back in the 19th century, there was a famous literary person. I know he was a poet. Does anyone know Walt Whitman? May not have heard the name, but if you were an American, he'd be one of the boys. He'd be like the William Wordsworth or the Charles Dickens. He's a very famous literary person. And he was a great friend of Abraham Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln, of course, being one of the American presidents. When Lincoln was killed, Whitman wrote a poem about him, which is a very famous, again, we've probably never heard of it, but a very famous poem, "Oh Captain, My Captain, our fearful trip is done." So, great person, well known in the States. Well known for all his writings. Apparently, a friend of Whitman's visited him one day and went into his kitchen, and he was surprised to find that the only items of cutlery that he could find was a metal spoon, a metal dish, and a metal cup, and that was it. So, you know, and you might be thinking, gosh, I wish I'd got that amount of cutlery. And if you have a word with us afterwards and we'll help you out. But you can get, I'm sure you can get by on it. And obviously Walt Whitman did. But I was trying to emphasise the point. Americans remember him for what he gave in terms of his literary ability. They don't remember him for the contents of his kitchen, what he got. So remember him for what he gave as opposed to what he got. And what does the Bible tell us about what the early church gave? Well, like Whitman, they may not have had much, but the Bible tells us what they did have, they shared amongst each other, and they looked after each other's needs. In Acts, Luke tells us that the believers were devoted to fellowship and teaching, and that they were together. They were united. They had everything in common. The reading which Trevor gave us, and it was a short reading in 1 Corinthians 13, very well known, Paul reminds us that whatever we give, whatever we do, it counts for nothing if we don't have love. And clearly, the early church had this love for one another. So what's important when we think about giving isn't so much perhaps thinking how much should I give, how much this, how much that, and becoming legalistic, but perhaps the first question that we need to ask is how much do we care, how much do we love, how much do we care for the church, how much do we think God cares for us, how much do we care for God? Types of giving vary. This reminds me of giving. It's not very much. It's a bit tatty now. But it's a little bookmark. And it was made by one of the old ladies at church. And it's just, I don't know how she's done the border of it. It's very nice, actually. It's also got some special crimping scissors to done around the edge. And then in the middle, there's a Bible verse, and she just left those. She must be back in her 90s now, Jean Orton. And she left them on the table at the back, and people used to use them, obviously, for as simple bookmarks. So that's a type of giving. That's saying, there you go. And it means something, because people have got a reminder when they read a book of a Bible verse. Another type, Edwin Orton, who led the Birmingham City Mission for many years, was very involved with the work in India. And he used to go to trips to the Kolkata City Mission to help develop that mission, the mission station over there. And I often think about one time that he went. And he was sitting in a bit of a slum area waiting for a lift or something. And he's sitting with a cup of tea that he'd just bought. And he took a few sips out of this cardboard cup of tea. And then his lift came and said, come on, hurry up, we've got to get off. So he gave the cup of tea to one of the street boys that were with him. And he said he was surprised that the street boy looked at it and he didn't drink it. But he went and got another cup and carefully poured half of this half-drunk cup of tea into the other cup and went and gave it to one of his brothers. It's really moving, actually, that a person who'd really got next to nothing would share the little bit that someone had given him. And it was really touching. And it's shown us lots. We've seen lots of pictures of the slum districts of Kolkata now, and to think that the people who've got nothing will share the little that they've got. One of the best examples that I know, I don't know if you know here, C.T. Studd. C.T. Studd came from a very wealthy family, an English family. He probably never needed to work, but he became a cricketer in early years. Well, quite well known as a cricketer, but then he realised his need for salvation and he actually gave everything up in this country and became a missionary in different areas. He became a missionary in China and India and Africa. And he gave away when he was in his mid-20s, he gave away the fortune that he'd inherited from his family. I think he kept a little bit by for his wife and said, this is for you. And she said, oh, no, you've got to get rid of the lot. We can't hang on to it. So he gave the lot away. And I don't know if there's some famous words which I've heard now and again over the years. Only one life, 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Jesus, for Christ, will last. And C.T. Studd actually wrote those. It's a part of a poem that he wrote. And he said, if Jesus Christ be God and died for me, then no sacrifice can be too great for me. to make for him. And that's something, and he demonstrated that both financially, but also in his life. He gave his life for Christ. And of course, as the apostles themselves did, they'd spent time with Jesus, and Jesus had made a difference to them. So it demonstrates a very special giving. It's not what do I have to give, but what am I able to give? Because I love God, I love those around me, and I have a glimpse of how God loves me. So Paul says, you're losing out if you don't love when you give. And of course, love means lots of different things in the English language. We've got the romantic love, I love you and I hope you love me. And the love that we read about in 1 Corinthians is a very specific type of love, which is a kind of spiritual love, that we choose to live, to love one another regardless of what we might receive in return. And God demonstrates his love to us in giving Jesus to us whilst we were yet sinners. We didn't deserve redemption. We didn't deserve forgiveness. But God loved us. So the early church gave because they wanted to give, and in so doing demonstrated God's love. God loves us because God is love. And God's hand, thank God, extends to each of us. And if we know the logo of the BCM, it's two hands outstretched, which demonstrates giving. What can I give? One of the ways that we can give in service is to evangelise, and we're going to be looking at evangelism next week. But when we publicly declare God's love to others, we evangelise, and that's giving out God's word. And when we are baptised, we make a public declaration of our faith. So as I said, we'll be looking at that aspect of God's love next week. So in conclusion, giving is the opposite of getting. Look at me, look at what I've got. This is what I can give. Getting puts the focus on me. Giving puts the focus on others, including, importantly, on God. If you're asking how much do I have to give, maybe it's better to ask how much do I love. Look how the early church gave and take it from there. Amen.